Well, folks, take a look inside your grace notes there. You can follow along today. We're talking about God is greater than those against me. And I want to welcome our El Dorado Springs campus, our live streamers, and our podcasters today. You know, some of the things I think that as Christians we should know and live out every day probably are understood but not really open in our minds and our hearts all the time. We don't really realize we're doing some things that might be negative to the Christian life. So first thing I want to say is this, that we're all in this together. You think about the billions of people that live on this earth, we're kind of all in this together. And I'd like to think that if you have that attitude toward this world, you look at the world as if we are all in this together and that we're not against each other or hatred or anger or frustration or different rules, regulations, religions, all that stuff, that if we're in all this together, then we might act and treat others differently, right? I hope and I pray that for many of us, when we look at the world, we say, you know what? I'd rather have a friend than an enemy, right? Even if they disagree with me, they look at the world differently than me, I'd rather try and be that person's friend than be their enemy. And I think that's the struggle of this life, is that sometimes we choose to be people's enemies or to fight with people or be negative about people instead of choosing to be a friend. Now, today I thought would be a good day to try and reach out to every generation in the congregation. I don't know if you knew this or not, but at this point in time in history, due to advances in healthcare and medicine and just about everything, that we have the potential to have up to 6 generations in the church together. Now, this has never happened in the history of the world, as far as we know, but we have more generations in worship than we ever have before, right? That's pretty amazing. Hallelujah, right? That's a great thing. The struggle with that is that illustrations don't always hit every generation. Okay, so when we tell stories or share anecdotes, it doesn't always hit everyone. So today, I thought I would do the best job that I could, since we're bringing in new generations all the time, to try and hit every one of our generations today with some of the things that we're talking about. We try and do this all the time, but it is a struggle. So as we're talking about God is greater than those against me, I thought I would talk about good versus evil, right? The good versus evil. And in this world, there is some evil. In fact, some of our writers in Hollywood and writers of great literature build up these amazingly evil characters, right? They do. And they build up these evil characters so big that whenever you hear their name, you have a reaction, if you know their name, right? If you know their name, you have a reaction to, oh, that bad person. Oh, that bad person. Now, this is just fiction stuff. No, this is real, but we have bought into that to some extent in our life, that we're pulled into that stuff. And so I'm going to try and hit every generation here. This one's going to hit most of you, so I'm going to start out really good. Darth Vader. You pretty much all know who that is. In fact, they've tried to reintroduce Darth Vader, right? Evil guy, bad guy. If you watch the end of the first set of whatevers, anyway, he was a bad guy at some point in time, all right? So that's kind of the archetype, right, of a bad person, an evil person, right? Tried to destroy people, and you hear the backstory, and just a terrible person, and did all these terrible, awful things, right? Okay, so here's another one. Bowser. Not the Bowser you're thinking of, older folks. Bowser in Super Mario. Bad guy, right? Yeah, see, some of you are like, oh, wait a minute, what is that? Okay, here's one for some folks probably closer to my age. How about Ganon in Zelda? Well, see, look at this. The little ones know. Yes, amen. Pastor did his job. So there's some video game bad guys, right? Whenever you hear that name, you go, oh, that's not a good guy, right? That guy tried to steal the princess. That's terrible. Here's some easy ones. Lex Luthor. Come on, right? Lex Luthor, bad guy. Joker, you know, the Joker. The Joker wasn't really a really, really bad guy until they made an awesome movie, right? Made him the bad guy, right? Okay, here's a really good one. Newman from Seinfeld. There's a bad guy. You just hear his name. And for you Scrubs fans, the janitor, right? Any Scrubs fans, the janitor. A few through other. Boyd Crowder, anybody? That's TV shows and literature. Anybody? Boyd Crowder? Yep, bad guy. Okay, good. There you go. Here's a tough one. Boss Hogg. Some of you know who that is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about Alexis Carrington? Yeah. Right? Yeah. As the kids are like, who? Who cares? She was bad, and she was mean and liked to be mean. J.R. Ewing. J.R. Ewing. You guys all know who that is, right? Yep. Yeah, and then I'll throw this in for some of you over here. Negan and the Governor. Is that all right over here, this crew? Yeah, Negan. Yep. So those are bad guys in literature and in TV, and you hear those names, we laugh a little bit now, but in the midst of their own stories, they were awful. They were evil, and they sought to do evil in this world, right? And so then we step back and go, wait a minute, look at all those terrible things and all those terrible people, and I want you to look in your own life. Do you have anybody close to that in your own life? I hope not. If you do, look out, but I hope you don't. You see, in our own personal life, we don't have, hopefully, all this evil and nasty and terrible stuff. We actually have some pretty good stuff, I hope. And I think that if you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, that you'll know that God is with you. And God is with us, right? God is with us. That is a basic tenet of the Christian faith, that God is with us. If you believe in Jesus, God is with us. He's with you. And the Bible tells us this in many different ways. One of the best ways that God says he is with us is in the 23rd Psalm. Now, you've probably heard the 23rd Psalm 100 times in your life, right? But I want you to think about it in the idea that maybe God is truly with us. And I'm going to read this to you in two sections. So we begin by saying that the Lord is my shepherd, okay? Well, that's totally great, right? God is my shepherd, that's right. He's going to lead me. He's going to do all these great things. Well, listen to this. I shall not be in want. So if God is your shepherd, you're not going to be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, not my own. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay, this is us hearing and seeing God, how God works, and us responding to that. This is who we believe God is. Someone who leads us, comforts us, helps us. I mean, think about this. This is who God is. And then think about your own life and go, all the negative and frustrating things and how you think things are evil or bad or awful or terrible. No, God is with us. God is with us. And very clearly here, leads us to green pastures beside still waters, and he restores our soul. That's amazing, right? Think about that for a few moments. That for each one of us, that if God truly is with us, we are magnificently and amazingly blessed by God, right? Yes, there could be some bad stuff going on in your life, not good things, but with God on your side and God with you, then you are blessed. Now, you have to claim the name, though, right? You have to claim the name of Jesus. And for many of us today, we're claiming the name again. We're reclaiming the name, or we're claiming the name of Jesus Christ for the first time ever in our life. We've said we're going to believe in Jesus. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We take that into ourselves, and we are forever changed, which means we are called to go do good in this world, to go make a difference in this world, to shine the light of Christ everywhere we go in this world. And so it gets real tough if you're a Christian to run around looking at the world as if everyone's against you, because they're not. We shouldn't look at the world as if everyone is against us. And yet for some of us we do, because we focus too much on the opinions of other people. And sadly, sometimes we focus on the opinions of people who aren't Christians, right? And we say, well, they must be right. They thought about it. They didn't pray about it because they're not a Christian. Maybe they did some research. But no, we have to think about it in the idea that if we truly believe in Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be worrying about the opinions of others in our life. All we should be worried about is the opinion that God might have of us and our walk with Jesus. Let me lift up a few other bad characters in literature. There's a lot of them. Really, there are, if you think about it. Think about some books that you've read recently where there's a really bad person, the real negative, awful person. Because this is throughout history where we have all these bad guys lifted up, right? Let me read a few more. This is going to go to all different generations again. Moriarty, anybody? Yes? Okay, yeah. How about the White Witch or the Wicked Witch of the West? We can go either one. Couple different books there. How about Norman Bates? Scary, yeah. Anybody? Anybody freaked out by that one? Yes. Captain Hook, anyone? Cruella de Vil, yes. How terrible she was. How about Sauron or Gollum? Yeah, right? Scary. Now, this is a good one. This is one of my favorite of all time, one of my favorite bad characters of all time. Mrs. Trunchbull. For Matilda, right? Terrible, mean, right? Yeah. How about Lord Voldemort? Yeah, right? Oh, there it is. Now we get the hallelujah. Yep, bad guy. And then for some of the other folks, Nurse Ratched. Yeah. See? These are bad people in literature, and they're mean. They do bad things. They hurt people. They harm people. And they were against people, right? Again, do you have anybody like these fictional characters in your life coming against you? Now, sadly, some of us have put in our minds that we do. And we look at some of our folks that are in our life, especially you younger folks, sometimes you will look at a teacher or a professor as if they're one of those evil people, right? Why would you do that? Because they gave me a bad grade. Because you didn't study? Nah. Well, no, they gave me a bad grade. Because you didn't do your homework? You didn't. No, think about it. They're not these evil, terrible people, right? They aren't. And so for some of us, we personify the negative on our teachers, on our employers, on our bosses, and sometimes they aren't really nice people. But that doesn't mean they're like to the level of evil in some of this literature I just mentioned. They're not. And so we don't need to be fighting those kind of crazy, sad, epic battles with those folks. But I will tell you this, that there is evil in this world. It does seek to do you harm, and it tries to get you to be afraid. It tries to get you to be afraid from being who God has called you to be. And that is it. Fear tries to stop you in your tracks from being the Christian that you need to be. Now, here's what God says back to us, right? In Psalm 23, I want to read this to you because some of us just miss this every time we read this passage of Scripture. This is David speaking to God. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to go back to the beginning of that passage. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, God comes down from heaven and prepares a banquet feast for his people in front of bad guys and massively and amazingly blesses them in front of other folks, right? And so if you do have enemies in your life, if you have people that are coming against you, that are causing harm and heartache, if you are faithful and you seek after the Lord, that is what God does. Now, it's metaphorical. It may not be a physical feast, but God will bless you in such amazing ways that your enemies will go, "Why is that person so blessed?" Actually, it might make them more mad, right? Because you've been blessed amazingly by God. But that is if we are faithful. That is if we follow through on our faith. Again, there are a lot of folks in this world that are not against us, but for some reason we've reacted to them as if they are. We've reacted to them as if they are coming against us and that we have a personal war to fight with them. You know, the disciples did this too. I don't know if you knew this or not. In the Bible, the disciples would often label people as enemies that they should not have, right? And Jesus has to pull them back and say, "Come on, that is not what this is about." Because he says, if they are not against us, they are for us. In other words, unless someone has not declared war against you, right? They aren't against you, they're probably for you. Let me read from Mark 9, 38 through 41. It says, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him, 'You stop,' because he wasn't one of us." In other words, he wasn't one of the cool kids, right? Jesus says, "Don't stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." In other words, if someone is doing something in the name of the Lord, don't stop them. If they're doing something good in this world, don't try and tear them down, right? And sadly, some of us have a very difficult time celebrating with others, don't we? We do. We do. In fact, there was a woman who wrote an article. She wrote an article a few months ago about how angry she was about how happy all of her friends were who had gotten married and had kids. True. She was so angry that they were so happy, she thought that they were throwing all their joy in her face because her life wasn't great. That's awful. That's terrible. That is selfish. And yet, we think that that's okay because that's her opinion and no big deal. No, she got off the rails a long time ago with her negativity and her anger and somewhat a little bit of hatred against people who were just trying to share good in this world. You see how easy it is to tear down someone who's trying to celebrate. Here we see Jesus says specifically to disciples, don't stop people for doing good works in my name. Don't do that. But the disciples were like, nope, there is one way to do it. It's our way or the highway. They cannot be a part of it. And I think it relates a little bit to the church too, because there are some churches in the world who say they are the only way, right? We've all been there. We've heard about that. There are some churches that say if you don't go to this church, you weren't baptized in this specific way, that you're not going to heaven, you don't really know Jesus, right? That's not what Jesus says here. He says, no, if someone is doing good in my name, don't tell people to stop. You actually should celebrate it. We should celebrate the victories in this world that other people have of joy and goodness and hope and of love. Gosh, I tell you, there's so much negativity in the world. If the church would just get out in the world and spread some love and compassion, this world would be a much better place. We'd be turning over a much better world to the next generation, too. A generation that might get a little bit jaded and negative with everything they see, especially when they look at politics and some other things in this world. But folks, if we can just share the good and the joy and the hope of Jesus every day, we're going to turn this world over to them and they're going to be, hey, this is great. Let's keep doing this. Let's celebrate this. Let's celebrate what God is doing here on this earth, bringing new people to Jesus Christ, reaching out and sharing the good news and changing the circumstances of those around us. So we have to ask ourselves, no matter what, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, are we with God? Are we with God? God is with us, but are we with God? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saying, yes, I'm with God. But are you really? Are we really? You know, taking that next step, it's a mental thing. You just say yes, but what does it look like to truly be with God here in this earth? Because there is evil. You know, Jesus had a nemesis and his name was Satan. And he did everything he can and could to destroy the work of the Lord. He undermined everything he could. He inspired people to do bad and evil things. And here's Jesus fighting for the good, fighting for us. And there's Satan over there working for the bad, working for the negative. Continues to work this day to try and pull believers away from the church. And each one of us has to decide, which way are we going to follow? The way of God or the way of the world? When we say we believe in Jesus, that means we say we are with God. Matthew 12:30 says this, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Basically, Jesus says, there comes a moment in all of our lives where we have to choose to be with him or not be with him. And it's up to each and every one of us. And all of us should do everything we can to present this to others, to let them know they do have a choice in this world, that they have a new path that they can take, to choose to be with God or against God. You see, if someone's doing good in this world, we should celebrate that. If someone is lifting up the great joys and victories in their life, we as the body of Christ should celebrate that as much as we can. We should throw them that like or that nice comment or that whatever to lift them up and let them know we celebrate with them, not against them. And when we choose to be with God and choose to be with Jesus, we have a new calling in our life. We get to be the hero, right? We get to be the hero against all that negativity, all those bad things. We get to be the hero of our own story because there is evil, there is injustice, there is oppression in this world. And yes, there are evil forces working out there in the world to do harm. And so what does the church do? Do we ignore it? No. We fight for what's right and what's good and what's just. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're choosing to go live a life that does good in this world. You get to go out in the world and do good in the name of Jesus. And the church is supposed to celebrate that. And so as you look forward in your own life to some of the big things that God might have for you, you have to think about, how can I do good in this world? Who can I do good for? And what do I need to go fight for? We had a few folks claim the name of Jesus today, right? Hallelujah, amen. They accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And now we help them move forward in their faith. By our example, by our words, and by our deeds, they get to see what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And my guess is this, that they'll go on to do greater things. To do greater things in this world, to make a difference in the lives of those who are far from God. Not by judging them or speaking poorly of them, but actually celebrating what God is doing in their life and the life of their family and their friends and bringing people closer to Jesus. Through their words and deeds, they'll be out there making a difference. The reason I say all this is that sometimes some of us focus on those things that are against us in this world. And that's a sad thing. If you focus on the things that are against you, you will be forever fighting that battle. If God is on your side, which I believe he is, if God is with us, which I believe he is, then you don't need to worry about those things. All you need to worry about is getting out in the world and doing good, making a difference in your family, with your friends, at school, and at work in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, you bring a little bit of that light and that love from Jesus to every dark place, every bad place, every unhealthy place in this world. And when you shine that light, it brings hope to those who are far from God. I hope and I pray that this day you'll realize that God is greater than all those that are against us, and that he is with us, guiding us in his righteous paths for a better future for us and for the next generation and for the generations to come, so that they all might confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of our family and our friends and our church this day. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ in our life, who lived, who died, and was resurrected, that offers us the gift of salvation this day. Lord, let our faith be something that makes a difference in this world. Let us be renewed by the power of your Spirit, such that as we go out into the world, that our lives might make a difference for you, that we might carry the good, the joyful, and the hope-filled into this nation, into the world, so they will know the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.